Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is wonderful to be gathered once again with you in our Father's house. And as we are here this morning, first thing we get to have this morning is a baptism. And now, personally, this is a kind of a big baptism because it's my nephew, which is, you know, that's kind of exciting. So he's going to be joining the family of God, and as he's just joined our family just, what, a couple weeks ago? Yeah, just a couple weeks ago. So if you guys would come forward at this time. He's making a joyful noise already, see? He's being a whiner, which is a good Lutheran, good Liebman tradition as well. Yes, sponsors, you guys can come up as well. All right. Well, we are gathered here for a baptism, which is an amazing miracle. You know, it's amazing when you get to hold these little tiny babies and you see the miracle of life that God has given us. And then the next big miracle is the baptism, when God takes that little life, that little person, and makes him his own, makes this little Isaac a child of God. And as he is going to be a child of God, it gives you guys some responsibilities, right? Yeah. Okay, so now you're going to be raising God's child, not just your own child. And so my question for you is this: are you going to support his faith, educate him in his faith, nurture him and help him to continue to grow in his faith so that he can have a lifelong growing relationship with Christ?
We will.
Excellent. And just because I don't trust you. No, I can get away with that. He's my brother, right? Anyway, no, just because I know how life can be distracting and difficult and you can lose track of the most important things because of all the busyness, we're going to make sure that you have somebody who's going to, gently encourage you. And you chose well, because Jessie is actually fairly gentle. And Madison, I don't know Madison very well yet, but she looks like a very nice person. So the question is this, are you guys willing to undertake this responsibility to hold them accountable and to do what you can to continue to help Isaac grow in his faith? Excellent. Very good. And just so you know, the whole family's going to bug you if you don't continue to. Okay, just so you know. All right, very good. With that, then, can I have the baby? Hey, little man. It's okay. Oh, it's going to get worse. All right. Isaac, receive the sign of the cross upon your forehead and upon your heart, marking you as one redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, and his name is Isaac Lee Liebman. Isaac Lee Liebman, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know. I am that uncle. Oh, you sweet baby. All right. It's all right, little guy. Here, let's put something in there. There we go. All right. Now, we're going to give you a few things today. First of all, we're giving you a candle. And this candle is a reminder that the faith that this baby has came from God, and that this faith lives now in him. And, here. I'll give him to Mom. He's good judgment. He doesn't trust me yet. All right, this candle is something that I want you to use as a reminder. All of these things are going to be for reminders, right? Because the most important thing that he knows throughout his life is that he is God's child. It is his identity, it is his purpose, it is everything. And so as you guys celebrate birthdays, I encourage you to stick that candle right in the middle of the cake. Yeah. Mom won't mind at all. No. Yeah. Anyway, and then and just to remind him that he is God's child. We also have a banner over here with his name on it. And again, this is something I want you to hang in a prominent place, someplace in his bedroom. And when he asks, like kids always do, what's that for? That you can tell him, this is reminding you that you are God's child. Excellent. Also, we give you a storybook so that you can read Bible stories to him, so that he can learn God's word right from the very beginning. So with all that, can we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this precious Isaac, Lord, and this new family. I pray that you would continue to be with them. Lord, help them all continue to grow in their faith, Lord. Help them all to continue to seek after you, Lord. Just continue to send your spirit to work in their hearts, Lord, so that they can continue to trust in all that you have promised. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Then you guys can go sit down again. All right. And now, my friends, we begin our worship service, remembering our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Lord, we pray that you would come into our, under this, we thank you, Lord, that you are in this building, Lord, that on the basis of your promise, Lord, that wherever we gather in your name, you are there. Lord, we thank you that you have made yourself available to us so that we can know you, and that you love us so that you teach us, Lord, all that you have done. Help us, Lord, to learn and remember today. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we confess our sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, redeem us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us return praise to this God who has so graciously forgiven us.
Glory to God and praise Him low, be ever. to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether worthy, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all things, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Good morning. I'm Kevin Shigg, one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first scripture reading is from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 21, verses 1 through 16. Sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth." But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my ancestors." So Ahab went home, sullen and angry, because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my ancestors." He lay on his bed, sulking, and refused to eat. His wife Jezebel came in and asked him, "Why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat?" He answered her, "Because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, 'Sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in its place.' But he said, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" Jezebel, his wife, said, Is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I'll get you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, placed his seal on them, and sent them to the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city with him. In those letters, she wrote, "Proclaim a day of fasting and seat Naboth in a prominent place among the people, but set two scoundrels opposite him and have them bring charges that he has cursed both God and the king. Then take him out and stone him to death." So the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city did as Jezebel directed in the letters she had written to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth in a prominent place among the people. Then two scoundrels came and sat opposite him and brought charges against Naboth before the people, saying, "Naboth has cursed both God and the king." So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death. Then they sent word to Jezebel, "Naboth has been stoned to death." As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, "Get up and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite that he refused to sell you. He is no longer alive, but dead." When Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he got up and went down to take possession of Naboth's vineyard.
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin got the long reading today. Mine's only two verses long. All right. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?'" All right, kiddos, it is now time for the children's message. So if you guys want to come forward at this time, Pastor Bill has the message for you this morning.
What's in here? And you know what? This time there's no nuts. So you guys can all have one. What happened up here a little while ago with that little baby? He got baptized. Is that a good thing?
Yes.
Did he need to have his head washed?
Yes.
Yeah, he did. That was to wash away sins, wasn't it? Are you bashful? Okay, so little Isaac got baptized. You know, that's kind of special for me, because that's my grandson. And you know what? We have now 12 grandchildren.
Oh my.
And now they are all baptized.
Oh my.
But you were baptized too. Did you know that?
Yes.
What happened when you were baptized?
You were baptized into God's love.
You're right. That's where God's love for you overflowed with forgiveness of sins. That's where he overflowed to remind you that you belong to Jesus. When you first heard the Word of God, it's the Word of God that brings you faith, and it's baptism that keeps reminding us that we are God's children. And that is special. Such a special thing to have God calling you his special child. But you know what? That faith that baptism supports, do you know that can be taken away? Did you know that somebody can steal away your baptism and your faith? Not your baptism. It can steal away your faith. Okay. What steals away our faith?
Devil.
Well, yeah. There's other things to steal it away too. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Where? There it is. "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. For some have starved from the faith, strayed from the faith, and in their greediness." How does that work? If you love money, Is that more important than anything?
Yeah.
What?
No.
Well, what did you say? No, it is not more important than anything. In the text that Pastor Bob read, it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. Did you know that God is with you always? Is that a good thing? Is it good that God can see you sinning? Yeah, it really is. I don't think so at the time, is it? I'd kind of like to hide those times. But we know that God is with us because he loves us. And he's there to help us and give us the strength to say no to sin. And when we would choose money over God, that's a real problem. And that's what God is trying to protect us from. And so that's why we need to be always in God's Word, always reading the Bible, always learning more and more about how much God loves you, because his love for you is so great, so powerful, that all your sins are forgiven. But you need to have the faith to receive it, don't you? And we need to keep that faith from being stolen. We're not going to let the love of money steal away our faith, are we? Or the devil, or the world around us. Sometimes the world around us would like to steal us away too. But by staying in God's Word, he gives us the power, he gives us the strength, his strength, to be faithful to him always, receiving the wonderful gift of love and forgiveness. Let us pray. Repeat after me, all right?
Dear God,
thank you,
For loving us
so very much,
that you died
willingly
on the cross
to take away
our sins.
Thank you, Lord,
for giving us
your goodness
and taking away
our badness.
In Jesus'
name,
amen.
Very good. It is time for a little worship. Anybody 4-year-old through 4th grade can meet at the cross at the center aisle, and you guys are going to have a lesson just for you. Thanks, Dad. I appreciate it. And the rest of us, let's open up God's Word right here and right now. And that long reading that poor Kevin had to read this morning. But it was a good reading because it was this story. It was a, you know, stories are... You can follow that for a while. But it's quite the story, isn't it? I mean, King Ahab, we all know he wasn't one of the good kings, right? We knew that. Jezebel, you know, she's not one of the good queens, you know. But I wish that I could say that somehow Ahab was so much worse than us in this story, but I don't know if we can really do that. I mean, but we can learn from him, though. You know, Ahab, did he have a lot of stuff? I mean, he was king, right? I mean, he didn't live in a shack, you know? But he really wanted vegetables. Now, I don't exactly understand that, but nevertheless, he really, really wanted vegetables. You know, and as king of Israel... Is that too much to ask? You know, I just want a garden. It's just not that much to ask, right? And so he goes over to the guy, you know, he has land really close to the palace, and he says, I'll do a land swap with you, give you better land. And the guy, Naboth, this was his ancestral land. This was the land that was passed down to his family. He was emotionally tied to this land, and he goes, I can't sell it. And so Ahab, you know, just couldn't let it go. He wanted what he wanted, and he had to throw a little bit of a pity party for himself, and he went home, and he was grumpy, and he wouldn't eat, and sat in his room and pouted. It's a good king. It's good leadership qualities there, yeah. And so his wife walks in and she says, what on earth are you doing? Is this how the king acts? And the answer, of course, is no. But then what she did is not how the king was supposed to act either. And she basically connived and came up with a plan to kill Naboth so that they could have his vineyard. It's just amazing how our wants can become so important to us that they just kind of take over. And we can fall into all kinds of problems, sin, difficulties, mess up relationships, mess up our own lives, all because we have things we want so bad. And you know that we do have these things we want so bad. And you know, I mean, not that we need help being greedy, you know? I mean, it kind of comes natural to us. But the world is willing to help us, you know? I mean, go on the internet just about anywhere and there's going to be ads popping up telling you about all the stuff you can't live without. You know, billboards on the interstate, commercials when you're watching TV or listening to the radio, or just, you know, one of my favorite things to do as a kid was we delivered papers. We were like a very industrious family. We had every paper out in town. And but when we get the paper and all the ads were in it, and they were just so much fun to look at. Just all the things that we didn't have. Why is that so fascinating? You know? But nevertheless, it is. And so living contentedly in this world is really hard. Living happy with what we have doesn't come easily. And I think the reason is that we are so quick to take our eyes off God. I mean, we got to remember what God has revealed to us in Scripture. You know, this anchors, this rock that God has given us that we can navigate by, we can use to understand the world and to live our lives, because He has revealed to us His Word in Scripture. We can know what the God of all creation did, what He made, how He feels, and how we get to relate with Him, because God has told us about it. He's revealed this to us. And in Scripture, God has revealed a whole bunch of stuff. You know, he tells us what He did. He tells us how He created the world perfectly. We fell into sin. He made this plan of salvation. He led the children of Israel all through the Old Testament, and at just the right time, Jesus was born. And He died on the cross. The Holy Spirit comes to give us faith, and we receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation through Him. That's kind of cool. Thing about faith, though, is this, is that we are taught what to believe in Scripture, and we are come to believe it through the work of the Holy Spirit. But we have a hard time living by our faith. And, you know, to understand a little bit more what that means is this, is that, you know, I mean, in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, that's that chapter where it talks about all these people who lived by faith. They did something by faith. Listen to this. Noah, by faith, built an ark. Now, I don't know if you really think about how strange that is. I mean, if you guys, like, bought land that had trees and started cutting down trees and building a big boat, you might get some looks. You know, that it's kind of an odd thing to do. I mean, and what would motivate Noah to do such a crazy thing? Well, except that God came and revealed to him what the truth was, right? And the truth is, a flood is coming. And to save your family, you need to build this ark. Now, did Noah believe God? Did he also act on his faith? You see how this works? I mean, he really believed God, so much so that he tipped his life upside down and spent a really long time building a really big boat, because that's what God told him to do. And then this Abraham guy, By faith, Abraham left his home and went to a country that God had chosen for him. A land that God promised to him, but you know how much land Abraham owned by the time he died? He owned his wife's grave. That's it. In his lifetime, he did not see the fulfillment of the promise, but did it come? Did. God was good for his promise. But because Abraham believed God's word, believed that God was with him and that God had an intent and a direction for his life, he did something really crazy. He left his home and just went and followed God. Now, God tells us a whole bunch of really amazing stuff. We talked about it earlier, right? The whole idea that we are redeemed by him, that we are loved by him so much that he died on the cross for our sin, that he has brought us into a faith relationship with him so that God is not just our God, but he is our Father, the one who promises to be with us. The one who provides all good things and gives us every perfect gift. And the thing is that, like Ahab did, do we have pretty good lives? Are we well cared for? Anybody here hungry? Well, I mean, not right now. I mean, like, in general, hungry. But there's teenagers here. I know somebody is hungry. But the thing is that we have really good lives, but yet we, like Ahab, look around and say, is it too much to ask that I have whatever, right? I mean, why can't I just get this? If only I had this, we'd deceive ourselves into thinking that that will make me happy, safer, more secure. It'll give me meaning in life. It'll make people think better of me. It'll do all, what magical thing will this thing do for us? And the thing is that we want those things because we feel like they're going to make our lives better. And the question is that thought coming from God? Or is that thought coming from someplace else? And when we believe something that doesn't come from God, when we operate our lives and make decisions on the basis of something that is not true, it always leads us into trouble. And all of a sudden, we're so focused on the stuff that we're always worried that it's not enough. Will I have enough tomorrow? Will I have enough today? Will I have enough for all the things that I want? Will I have the stuff that I can look at and say, see, I'm somebody because I have this, like the really expensive car or the really, really big house or the status things that are the Rolex or whatever. I mean, I don't know what it would be, but whatever it would be, that those status things that make us feel like we're important because we have them. The thing is this, God tells us something else. He says this. He says, you want to know who you are? You want to know you're important? Come to me. Let me tell you how you're important. Let me tell you how valuable you are. Let me tell you how loved you are. Let me tell you what you're worth. And you want to know how you're secure? Come to me. And let me tell you, not how I'm going to give you everything that you want, but I, as the source of every good gift, am going to walk with you every day of your life. And you want to know your meaning? You want to know what you're supposed to do with your life? Come to me, not me, God. And listen to what he says. As he says that now you are to be about the family business. That God has come up with this plan of salvation. Jesus died on the cross and gives it to us. The Spirit works to give us faith, and we have a job in this plan of salvation. Our job is to bear witness, to share his word. And think about how radically that changes our life, right? Because now all the stuff we have isn't just there to satisfy us, because we're not the one that we're trying to live for. We're trying to live for God. We're doing his work. And now all that stuff we have is just stuff that we can use to do the work that God's given us to do. You know, the idea that we need more and more and more so that we can have more stuff for ourselves, that's not the way God wants us to live. What he wants us to do is he wants us to work hard so that we can earn, so that we will have something to share with those who are in need. That we can be content with less because we know that the God who is able to do all things walks with us. And we can have peace regardless of how much stuff we have. And that we can do this in part because God has revealed to us that we're going to spend eternity with him in heaven. All right? Where we will be living in perfection. Which, what that does for us is this. It helps us because this world isn't everything. And if we don't get all the stuff we want in this world, it really isn't that big of a deal, because we're only going to be here for, optimistically, what, 90 years or so? And then we spend eternity in a perfect place. We can have peace because our God has given us his revelation. He has promised to be with us. And because of this, we have every reason to live in a contentment, because we have been blessed in every way, including the presence of God, the promise of his love, the promise of our redemption, the promise of heaven, the promise that he will be with us always to walk us through anything that happens in our lives. That's why we can be content. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God. You have done so much for us, Lord. You've given us this life, and you've given us everything that we need to support this life. And you give us everything we need, Lord, so that we can live with you forever in heaven. Lord, what a God. Help us, Lord, to live this out, to live out the faith, Lord, that you have given us, so that we can be content in all things. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, we are now going to continue our worship service by collecting the offering. As the offering is being collected, I do ask that you would record your attendance in the folders that you find in your pews, and we will also be singing Song of Praise to God.
Sorrows lie.
Let us stand as we confess our faith using the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. All right, my friends, please be seated at this time. And Lewis Johnson's going to come forward with the Life Talk.
Good morning, everyone. Pastor Dara asked if I would read our March Life Talk as he and they're vacationing in Arizona, so I gladly accept it. So our Life Talk. So the goal and mission of St. Mark's Life Team, your Life Team, is to encourage all of us to affirm life and its value from womb to tomb, and the differing stages of the life cycle. God's word speaks about true discipleship and the cycles of life in James 1:27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. God cares, and therefore we care for those who have lost spouses and those who are without parents. St. Mark's Grief Share Group is one way we are seeking to care for those who have lost spouses. For information about that group or to get involved, contact the church office or Pastor Bob's wife, Janine. To encourage caring for children who are without parents, your life team has scheduled an event on Saturday, April 15th from 9:30 to 11:30 here at the church. You can register at the Connection Center in the entrance or call the church office. Dave Eberly, Church and Communication Relations Manager for Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri, will be our speaker that day, and he will provide information on foster care and adoption, two important ways to care for and affirm life for children living without parents. We will also hear testimony from Allison Franzen about how her family has adopted children without parents and the blessing it has been for them. Lutheran Family and Children's Services facilitated their adoption process. For over 150 years, Lutheran Family and Children's Services has provided services to help protect children, empower families, and strengthen communities. Their adoption and foster care programs are designed to keep kids safe while providing them safe and loving homes. Come and hear how these programs work together and independently to provide hope and stability. Lutheran Family and Children's Services foster care team cared for 160 children in 2022 through their case management, home visitations, and placement services. You will learn how the adoption process works, what services Lutheran Family and Children's Services provide in that process, and how they continue to care long after and forever families is born. Come and learn about these important ways to care for children without parents. Ask your questions. Learn and grow with us in affirming life on Saturday, April 15th from 9:30 to 11:30. Thank you.
All right, my friends, let's stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of life that you have given each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us. Help us, Lord, to value that life and to value the lives of others, Lord, that you have created. As you have said in your word, each and every one of us is precious in your sight, deeply loved by you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us. Lord, I pray that you'd also be with us, Lord, as we work to live out the faith that you have given us, Lord, knowing that you provide, knowing that you are with us, that you are the God who can do all things. And if you are on our side, Lord, what else can happen to us? Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to live contentedly, live at peace, knowing that you are God. Lord, I pray that you would also be with us, Lord, as we continue to serve the families and the children, Lord, that you have given us. Lord, help us as we teach children in the school, as we teach children in youth ministry and children's ministry, as we continue to raise children, Lord, in the Christian homes. Help us, Lord, to give these children everything that they need to continue to grow in faith in you. And Lord, today we pray especially for our little Isaac. Lord, just continue to bless and strengthen that little faith that began today. Lord, all these things we bring before you today, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
is the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to Jesus, and live.
precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, and live.
Sometimes the way is lonely, and Stephen filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain,
then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, and live.
When the love spills over, and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside,
then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, and live.
With your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye, and go in peace and laugh on glory's side.
Fly to Jesus, and
how great the Father's love that he sent Jesus to die for us, and how great the love of our Savior that he comes to us in this bread and wine, his very body and blood, and by this gift we receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. As God is amazing, and as we can trust his promise, depart in his peace. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together, giving one last song of praise to God before we go back out into the world and live contentedly doing the family business.
The chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness saw through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory
Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ. The promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared that the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. The one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. God, you are my living hope.
We have an amazing God. Have a seat really quick. I got three announcements for you this morning. First of all, Easter flowers. Today is the last day to order. So if you want to take part in our big flower arrangement that we do up here on Easter Sunday, go ahead and make that order. They're on the Connection Center, the table in the back. And family meeting is on April 23rd at 11 a.m. Be there. It's important to be about part of the family business. So if you can be there, that would be great. And then the other thing is that I want to remind everybody that we are starting a middle school ministry on, or we have started a middle school ministry on Wednesday night, starting at 6:30, right? 6:30. And we just want to encourage and invite all the middle schoolers. What is that? 6th, 7th, and 8th? Okay, very good. An 8th grade can go to high school youth as well. So they're in that middle ground now. So with that, God's blessings on your week. We will have an elder in the prayer chapel, although the prayer chapel is full of food that we're about to distribute. So you'll have to stand when you pray. It's just how that'll be. But if anybody would like individual prayer, we will still pray with you. God's blessings on your week, and I'll see you in the back.